Let's get started. Okay, so we had the kind of five rules that I kept talking about. I don't want to have to write them on the board every time, so there's the handout. Five rules, but then there's a sixth rule on the handout. It's a new one. Okay. The name for that new rule, I'm not sure why they call it this, but they call it integrating by parts. This is day 17, homework 14 through 17 is due in a week. That's day 19, March 31st, integrated into my parts. And I believe intern. And this is the last day of new material for the next test, which is in 2 weeks. The bottom one. The idea is, if you remember how differentials of products work, it wasn't so simple, right? You don't have this. It's not just, you can't just distribute the differentiation over the product, right? The change in the product is not simply the product of the changes. Instead, we have this kind of formula. And a little change in UV, right? Let's see, call this one V, this is DV. U, this is DU. Right? And so. So, this is the product rule again. And so just as you can't simply distribute a differential over a product, you can't distribute an integral over a product. We already talked about that, right? If you have something like this. You can't, as much as you'd like to, you can't do something like this. Right? Stuff like this does not work. So instead, we try and turn the product rule backwards. So when we turn the product rule backwards, we kind of arbitrarily pick one of these terms and solve for that. So integration by parts, IBP as it's often abbreviated, is where you say, okay, D of UV is equal to UDV plus VDU. So I'm going to solve for, say, UDV. And then we can just integrate both sides. can distribute addition and subtraction over integrals. Or I should say, you distribute the integrals over addition and subtraction. That's okay. You can also factor out constants from an integral. Right? That's the upper right two rules on the handout. That's fine. But when you have variable factors, you can't just pull them out.
And sir, why do you have to include the third symbol between the minus? Why can't you just have them together?
You mean like one big integral?
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. It'll be the same thing. It doesn't matter. The integral, I think of it as representing some kind of total change, right? So you could take the total change of UV, and then this will be some, you can represent this as the differential of something. So it'll be the change of UV minus the change of something else, right? But that's the same as taking the change of UV minus the something else. But that's probably easier to see in an example, so let's do that. So let me show you how this can actually come up. Okay? You can't just break it up, right? So let me call this number I, right? I is not simply the integral of x dx times the integral of ex dx, right? That doesn't work. Instead, we're going to use a integration by parts here in a clever way. All right? So
let's see if I can do something with colors.
This will be my u, and this will be my dv. Try to be consistent. Okay. And so if you want to be extra clear here, this is an x range, right? X equals 0 to x equals 1.
Okay. Quick question.
Yeah.
Can the u and the v be interchanged? For example, the x could be represented by v and the u, instead of dv, it could be du.
The letters aren't important. The letters aren't important. As long as you're following this pattern, you can use. I've seen F and G used, right? The letters aren't important.
Yeah. Whole minus a part equals the other part.
Kind of.
I'm thinking in logical terms.
It's got the change of the whole product. So this part of the change equals the whole change minus the other part of the change. So we're going to have two terms here. So we're going to integrate from x equals 0 to x equals 1, and they'll have the d of uv. So that's the differential of x times e to the x. Okay. Now, the fundamental theorem of calculus says an integral of a differential is easy. You just plug in the endpoint values and take the difference. So that part's easy. But then the other part, we need to figure out what is the v du, right? Okay. So that's a little side problem for us, right?
Okay.
So we're we need to figure out. So we're going to have minus something, where that something is going to be... I guess I solved part of it already, didn't I? I jumped the gun, didn't I? The V is e to the x, and if x is u, then du is just dx. But y is v e to the x, right? Because it'll match our equation here. We want dv to be e to the x times dx. So here, let me put in one more line there. Right? Okay. That's just the exponential rule. Okay. So what I did there was I had to do some work in order to actually get this. I had to take an antiderivative of v.
Right? That means you had to work backwards?
Yeah, I had to anti-differentiate, yeah. I had to work backwards from knowing that e to the x dx was dv to figure out, okay, well then what's v supposed to be? Okay. And... this integral here we can simplify it some more. Right there we can use the exponential rule again and see that this is just the differential of e to the x. Bring this together now. Okay. You can think of this as plus negative 1 times the differential. So you can factor in the negative 1 and you can factor out the differential over a plus. Likewise with a minus sign. It's just like the sum rule. So I'll just take that shortcut and write it like this. So this will be, here I'll use I introduce a little abbreviation. It's a standard thing, you'll see it in all the calculus books, for indicating, take the value at one point minus the value at another point. Simplify all of that, it just comes out to be 1. Mm-hmm. These two cancel. E minus E. This is 1. This is 0. So this adds up to 0. Right? These two cancel. So 0 minus 1, 0 minus 1. So 1. If you want, you could have broken this up into two integrals.
It doesn't make a difference, just some people like to write it differently. So at this stage, I could have written it this way. And so then I'd look at the change of this minus the change of that. And sometimes if it's obvious from the context, people don't write x equals every time, right?
Just write one.
See if I got this. So here we have the change in this one. And then we have to subtract the change in that one. Okay. This is e. This is 0 times anything is 0. This is e. This is 1. So you get e minus e, so those cancel again. And then you have negative, or the opposite of the opposite of 1. So again, you get 1. Again. Okay. So it doesn't matter whether you break it up into two integrals or not.
Still need to do the bottom part. What do you think? Any questions, comments?
How did you decide what U was going to be?
That's part of the trick, is you have to make an educated guess. there's only three terms there. X, e to the x, and dx. So there's only so many different ways you can group them. And for each way of grouping it into two factors, you can try one is the U and one is the dv. And of course, also, I had to make another judgment call. I had to recognize that it would actually be profitable to use integration by parts at all, right? Sometimes integration by parts doesn't help, right? All the integrals we did before today, we did them without integration by parts. So my heuristic for that, my little rule of thumb is try to make the integral easier. Now, this part was always easy, right? When you've already got a differential of something, that part is just going to be, when you integrate that term, it's just going to be the change in that product UV. So the possibly tricky part is over here. You want V du to be easier than U dv was to integrate. Okay? So that's what you're going for. If it's not any easier, then the integration by parts is not going to help you. It might make things worse. Now, if that's all there was to it, you know, and then we just try every possible DB we could take the best result, but there's a constraint. You can't try anything. You need to know how to find V given DV, right? Once you pick a DV, you have to figure out what V is. So that's the constraint. So you can't pick the DV itself to be something super complicated, because then you won't be able to figure out its an antiderivative for it.
So you're saying there it's easier to find the e to the x than it is to find the u, which is the x?
So in our example, e.g., for example, e to the x dx, the v du up here, is easier than our u dv, right? And then likewise in this one, you know, what did I have to do? I had to find, I had to figure out this from this. So,
that latter part, I had to find V to the EX from PB to EX, DX, isn't that also finding the antiderivative?
Yeah, you have to find an antiderivative. So whenever you integrate by parts, you have to do an integral, essentially, in order to do the first integral you wanted to do, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, there's a little side problem of getting from DV to V, yeah. Here's let's see if we can figure out an integral of a logarithm. We've never done that before. You can't do it without either you have to make a clever substitution, or you have to integrate by parts. There's a certain amount of U substitution you can make to do it. I can show you that. I can also show you how to do it by integration by parts. So if you want to do this, here's what you do. You have to pick. One of these has to be U and one of these has to be DV. You might say, well, why can't I just let, you know, you might try, well, make the whole thing dv, and then let, I guess u would be 1, right? But that's, we're trying to figure out the antiderivative of this, right? The whole process of getting a formula for this integral is solving this kind of thing, right? So, you know, if you pick this, right, you know, what is V supposed to be? Right? You don't have any idea. If you knew, then you don't need to do integration by parts because you already know the answer. Okay. So that kind of trivial factorization where the whole thing is dv and u is just 1, we're not going to go for that. Instead, this will be u and this will be dv. Okay. So that's how we'll factor it. Okay, so one part now is easy in that if you're going to need a v du. So this part is easy. Just use the logarithm rule. So the differential of the logarithm is dx over x. Okay. And then for this one, this one is also pretty easy. If dv is dx, well, we can choose v to be x. That'll work. I suppose we could also choose v to be x plus 5. That would also work, but x is the simplest choice. So we have this integral where x goes from 1 to e, and now we have the differential of uv minus v du. That's the integration by parts set. And let's just plug in what we know now. Right? We have the u, that was by choice, and then we figured out the v and the du. The differential of log of x times x, that's the uv, minus the v, which is x, times the du, which is dx over x. Okay. And it wasn't obvious beforehand that v du would actually be easier than a UDV, but I wanted to try something, and this is one of my few remaining options, and this option actually works. It's kind of surprising, but you see the X's there cancel. And so you're going to have, let's say I break this up into two integrals, we're going to have the total change in x times ln of x minus the total change in x. Okay. So I'm going to call this one J. So J is going to be this thing at E minus that same thing at 1. And then this thing here, so just X at E minus 1. Okay. I guess I'll put the little X equals in there, right? And you can simplify that if you want. I think it's going to come out to be 1 again.
So what was the rule that got you from ln x times x to x ln x?
From here to here?
Yeah, what was that rule?
That one I learned in grade school. A times B is B times A.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you explain it?
Well, it's both of these are inside the differential, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not doing any calculus here. I just wrote it this way, right?
Yeah, that's
5 times 7, 7 times 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Nothing changed here. I just wrote it differently. It was purely a stylistic choice.
I could have written L and X times X every time. The reason I like to write it this way is, at least in my head, it's more obvious to me that what I'm supposed to do is take the logarithm and then multiply. Whereas here I'm a little bit unsure. Do I multiply the x's and then take the logarithm, or do I take the logarithm and then multiply? I like to write it this way because I'm less likely to get the order of operations wrong. Purely stylistic. Other questions? That was not a bad question, by the way. A lot of people do get tripped up on functional notation. Right? At the beginning of the semester, I had people, they get confused. They think D is D times something, right? There's lots of notation that's easy to get mixed up. So it's actually not a coincidence that both of these integrals came out to be 1. Okay? Let's see if I can demonstrate that. So I guess I'll bring this board down. Okay. There's a reason I and J are the same. Okay? And the reason is a little substitution. Okay. Okay, so this was the integral of the logarithm. And what I'm going to do now is make a substitution. Okay? If u is the log of x, then the differential of u is the differential of x divided by x. But I want to have everything, I want to have all the x's gone. I want to have something in terms of just u stuff. Okay? All. No x's in there. This is not integration by parts. This is a u substitution. And so this is going to be u by choice. Bless you. And this is going to be something else. And I'm going to try and figure out what that something else is. So log of x is u, but what does that make dx? Okay, well, du is dx over x. So dx would be x times du. Well, what's the x, though? Okay, I have one more idea. The logarithm and the exponential functions are inverses of each other. So if u is the log of x, then x is the exponential of u. So I can put that together to say that dx is e to the u du. Okay. And so here, what will I have? I'll have u is the log of x,
And then dx is e to the u times du. And when x is e, u is the log of e, which is 1. And when x is 1, u is the log of 1, which is 0. So the limits are 0 and 1.
So this was a little u substitution here. That was the technique we talked about before.
We talked about it a lot on Tuesday. And okay, now everything is in terms of u's. Now letters don't matter, right? As long as you're consistent. If these are all u's, I could change them to be all x's. Doesn't change a thing. So J is I. That's why they came out to be the same thing. So sometimes one way to try and get rid of a logarithm in an integral is to make this kind of a substitution, turn it into an exponential. But even after you do the substitution right here, you still have to do an integration by parts then. You just changed which integration by parts you were going to do. Questions or comments about this one?
Does that to do with another rule, right?
Then
with six rules from last session, so this pertains to the seventh rule?
Not really. No.
Like the example that you gave us before.
Of what?
Because I noticed you gave us these rules, but you're going over a new one.
Oh, the new rule is the integration by parts one here.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
It's on the handout, but I call it new because we didn't talk about it before today. Yeah. I talked about five integration rules or antiderivative rules before. Mm-hmm. Integration by parts is the sixth rule. This business of u substitution is not really a rule per se. It's a technique, right? In that, in all of these rules, u and v can be various functions. They don't just have to be a single letter, right? So, like here, the direct use of the rules. Of the five old rules, the rules I've been using directly here are just the logarithm and exponential rules. And I guess they're the fourth and fifth rules in this particular listing of them. I think I've listed them in three different orders now, depending on which day. But the order of the rules is not super important. Something you can try. Okay. So one way I could do this integral would be to distribute, and there would be 8 terms, right? And after I grouped like terms, I think there would only be 6 terms, right? So it would look something like this. I think the highest order term would be x to the fifth, and then the lowest order term would be 56. And so that would be the differential of, x to the 6 over 6 plus a bunch of other terms plus 56x. So that would, so you'd end up with 4 to the 6 over 6 plus a bunch of stuff all the way to 56 times 4 minus 3 to the 6th over 6 plus a bunch of stuff plus 56 times 3. I'll use the power rule for antiderivatives right here.
Now,
I could do this another way, though. Bring up this one. Okay. Alright, so that'd be one way to do it. You can also do it using integration by parts. Let's call this one H. Okay. Right. Let's find H via I integration by parts. Okay. So my idea is, I'm gonna trade a UDV for a VDU. So what I'd like then is for the U to be something where it gets nicer after I differentiate it, and then I have this DV which is going to get maybe a little bit uglier after I integrate it. So in this case, these are just polynomials, so if I know how to find derivatives and antiderivatives, I can go both ways easily. So the idea is, differentiate the more complicated factor. That'll pay off more, right? Because then, although you will have to anti-differentiate this, at least there are fewer terms, so it's not bad. Okay. So that'll be my strategy. I'm going to So the way I'll group it is this part here, the more complicated part, that will be the U. That will get differentiated. Okay. And so and every time I differentiate this, one of these terms will go away. Right? If I differentiate this, that A will, its differential will just be zero. And then the DV will be the other two parts. You could have broken it up the other way. You could have had this be the U, and then these two things be the DV. But it would just make the things look slightly more complicated. But both ways will work eventually. Okay. Let's see what happens here. Okay. I think. Well, wait a minute. No, I take it back. I'll show it to you two ways. I was just thinking, if I have a DV here, if this was the U, then I'll pay a price of having to integrate 4 terms, but if there's only one term here after I take the derivative, then it'll be a lot easier to do the multiplication.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll try it two ways. Okay, so in the first way, let's see what happens. Okay, so we're going to have, first of all, you'll have, I'll just write it as the, this is just going to be the differential of UV, or integrated, so you'll just have so this is the V, this is the U, if we go the first way. Right.
So that's the easy term. That's the DUV term integrated.
So we're going to have to plug in 4 and plug in 3, and we don't have to distribute. And then what do we get here? We get, then we're going to have VDU, okay? So V will be, that's the antiderivative, x cubed over 3 plus 7x. And then we need a du. So the du will just be the differential of this thing. Terms times two terms, now we have three terms times two terms. So arguably it's some improvement, but it's not done. We could, for this, you could use integration by parts on this integral, right? So do a second integration by parts. Right? Okay. You can do integration by parts multiple times in a row. Sometimes that's necessary. I think, though, this one will actually be the better payoff, because bringing this down from two terms to one is going to just be the bigger gain for us. So, okay, so in this one, this is the u. Now, here's the, I need the antiderivative of this. So it's x to the fourth plus 4, or sorry, over 4, and then x cubed over 3, x squared over 2, 8x. That'll be the antiderivative of V. I'll plug in 4 and 3. And and okay, minus VDU. Okay. So this is the V. Then this time, here's where the win happens. The du is much easier. It's just 2x dx. So I think in this example, this one was easier. So for this half, I just plug in the x's, right? Plug in 4 and 3. I'm not quite done here.
Okay. Yes, I got those boards.
Why don't I bring down...
Yeah.
So this is a nice example of integration by parts. Although you have to be careful of all the minus signs involved. It's not a panacea. I mean, after the work we do, you might ultimately conclude you were better off just doing the four terms times two terms and distributing. Right? Let's see what happens. Okay, so. Okay, so let's say we decide to go with the second way. And so what's going to happen here? Okay, so now we need to figure out how to integrate this thing. This time, I could use integration by parts again, but I think it would be easier to just multiply through by the x. So I get x to the 5th over 2 plus 2x to the 4th over 3 plus x cubed plus 16x squared. So this, for this part, I just plug in 4 and 3, and then I have another integral to do over here. So I need antiderivatives from here. Let's write it like this. 1 half times x to the 5th plus 2 thirds times x to the 4th plus x cubed plus 16x squared. And I have to use the power rule, the sum rule, and the constant multiple rule a bunch of times. Just like I did to get all these other antiderivatives, these v's. Lots of constant multiples, lots of additions, and lots of instances of the power rule for antiderivatives. That means you're going to have this whole polynomial evaluated at 4 and 3, and you take the difference. So you'll have 1 half. Let's bring this down. One half times 4 to the 6th over 6 plus 2 thirds times 4 to the 5th over 5, and then 4 to the 4th over 4, plus 16 times 4 to the 3rd over 3, minus 1 half times 4 to the 6th over 6, plus 2 thirds times 4 to the 5th over 5th, plus, wait, no, I'm supposed to be plugging in 3 now. 1 half times 3 to the 6 over 6, 2 thirds times 3 to the 5 over 5, plus 3 to the 4 over 4, plus 16 times 3 to the 3rd over 3. So all that. So we have to do this, minus all that stuff.
So at this point, the algebra is out of control, and you're highly likely to make a mistake. So at this point, use the you get out your calculator. Right? You have when the integral that gets this complicated, you should have your calculator do it. Make sure you get it right, okay? Because there's just so many places we could make an error with all the arithmetic, right? You see how the integration by parts is working there, but now actually plugging in all the numbers is going to be kind of a mess. A photograph of this. I want to show a smaller example where you actually do integrate by parts twice.
For that example, did you just distribute the 2x when you were integrating?
Yes, exactly. Yes. At this point, there is only one term. So if I distributed, I would end up with four terms instead of eight terms, right?
And on the top one,
I just copied this up to here, right? And then I took the antiderivative. But I just had to use the power rule over and over and over and over again. That's,
We're going to need to do that for the test?
Not that big. I've made the homework problems a more reasonable size. Compare what you had to do on the homeworks. Okay. Let's see this. Yeah. Okay. Integration by parts twice here. So the idea is that if there's a power of x like this, a constant power of x, if I keep differentiating it, assuming it's say a positive power, positive integer power, if I keep taking the differential, eventually this goes to zero, right? If this will be a good trade, trading u dv for v du should make things nicer because I'll get lower powers of x every time I take the derivative. The price I have to pay is I have to know how to get the antiderivative of this. Okay. The way you figure out this one, either you memorized a rule for this situation, or you do a substitution. Okay?
Substitution.
Yeah. Y, then the dv becomes e to the y dy over 3, and that in turn is using the exponential rule is the differential of e to the y. And so step 7 here, I get this. So this will be my v. So e to the 3x will have, actually, let's put it in terms of x's. Let's go back to the x's. That might help. Because I called y 3x. Right? So in terms of our original variables,
v will be e to the 3x over 3.
So another way of saying is the antiderivative of e to the 3x is 1/3 of e to the 3x. You may like to memorize a rule that when you have a constant multiple of x in the exponential, the antiderivative just divides out that constant. So here we're going to get. So we're going to have this. So du will be right here. That'll be the 2x dx. V will be this thing. Antiderivative there. E to the 3x over 3. So what I'm getting is an integral. So I have a differential in there of 2x. No, not 2x. Just x squared, right? That's just u. Times v, so times e to the 3x over 3, minus v, which is e to the 3x over 3, times 2x dx, du. Okay. And let's call this number A. Okay, so A is going to be all this stuff. So this differential, when we integrate it, we just get the total change. So 2 squared times e to the 3 times 2 over 3 minus 0 squared times e to the 3 times 0 over 3 minus, I can factor out the constants, and what I'm left with is this integral. Here. I'm going to call this integral B. So minus 2/3 times this integral. So I had to think a little bit harder in order to get the antiderivative of e to the 3x, or I have to remember a special rule for that case. But I think that I've reduced the integral to an easier problem. Instead of having x squared times an exponential, now I just have x times an exponential. So that's how the integration by parts let me make progress. And there's a lot of details along the way, but the main point is I reduce the problem from x squared times exponential to x times exponential. We just repeat the exact same strategy. And
I took a picture of this. And we get the next one. Okay, so up there. I need to figure out B. And then I can put it all together to get A. So I'm going to use the same strategy as before. And it's the same DV as before. It's a different U, but I didn't actually use this, did I? Anyways, the DV is the same though, so I can reuse this fact. Okay. So I don't need to do that part twice. So the integral using integration by parts is we integrate the differential of u times v, where u is now x instead of x squared, minus v times du. We have an integral from 0 to 2 of what's in there? U and v. So x e to the 3x over 3 minus we have a v du. Okay, so v is e to the 3x over 3, du is dx. And so now, this term, we just plug in 0 and 2. Minus, I'm going to factor out the third, and we have one more integral to do. Okay. All right, that's the last part. You still have the e to the 3x dx to deal with, but we know the antiderivative. That's just our dv right there. Right. So it's just going to be e to the 3 times 2 over 3 minus e to the 3 times 0 over 3. Okay. So I can put it all together now. Right. I can plug in here. I have this number for c. I can simplify it if I want. I can plug in that number C into this formula for B, and then I can plug in that number B into this formula, and I finally get A. Mm-hmm.
Three different formulas to plug into A. Well, two different ones to plug into one formula, A.
Yeah. Yeah, if you have to do integration by parts once, you have to do two integrals. And maybe a side project integral, or at least antiderivative, like here. If you have to integrate by parts twice, then there's at least three integrals in there, and at least one antiderivative side project. Okay. So this was our antiderivative side project. Maybe a little bit of homework.
Thank you.
try those two integrals for some more practice. Integration by parts is also covered in the book. I believe that's chapter 13.
If it's either 13 or 14, anyways.
Yeah, there are many more practice problems. I can look up the exact section number if you have the Business Math 1 book. Okay. Questions or comments about this? One thing about this integration by parts is it's a more advanced technique, so it assumes you know the basic techniques like the power rule and so on. If you're still having a hard time with those rules, then this stuff is really painful because you're using the more basic rules really fast over and over and over again. So get more practice if you need it. Right? Yeah.
So the first one to cover this is squared.
Yeah, the first move
is really to cover the square.
We got rid of the square.
And the second one to cover the X.
Yes.
The third one, the
last one was just a little substitution. It wasn't integration by parts, right? We reused what we already knew up here.